At the beginning of the Netflix documentary Audible, we see a high school football game that looks pretty typical. Excited crowd, cheering, players mixing it up on the field. But as we learn right away, this is anything but a typical high school. This is the Maryland School for the Deaf. The team has had tremendous success. It built a 42-game win streak. But team members have also had to deal with tremendous losses. Audible has been nominated for Best Documentary Short, and director Matt Ogens joins me now. Hi, Matt. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
You had a long-time connection with the Maryland School for the Deaf. What was it that drew you to make this film, Matt?
There's a lot of connections I had to the school and the subject matter. I grew up about 30 minutes away from Frederick, Maryland, where Maryland School for the Deaf sits. It's been there for, I think, 154 years. So I grew up nearby and was very aware of it, particularly because my aunt is a ASL interpreter in that area and was at the school when I was growing up. But really the deepest connection is my best friend since I was a kid, since I was probably 7, 8 years old, is deaf. Did not go to that school, but on a personal level, I pursued this project because in a way it was a way to connect and understand him even more. And it took probably about 12 years, I lost count, to try to get it made.
From a practical sense, how do these players communicate on the field? Are they signing?
So in a practical sense, signing. Now, when they're playing a deaf team, they have to be careful because that team can see it. So just like any football team, they have secret codes. You know, they have a name for a play. Now, there's other senses. You know, a lot of our communication, everyone, is through body language. And so, you know, they pick up on, their other senses heightened. They're feeling vibrations. They're hyper-focused on the ball. In a way, they're more zen, they're more mindful, they're more present on the field, you know, and there's intuition. You know, they feel it.
Well, one of the deaf characters that you focus on is named Amari McKenstry. His biological father left when he became deaf. His mother remarried. He's the only deaf person in his family. And he is struggling with the death of his friend, Teddy, which is a devastating story. Teddy left the Maryland School for the Deaf, and he attended a hearing school. And what happened?
Well, he was bullied by accounts from what the kid said, and he was dealing with other things too. I mean, it's usually not one thing. There's mental health issues, isolation and identity, and he committed suicide.
Well, Amari finds strength through all of this in his team and in his teammates, and it seems like this is a place where he has community. Talk about that community, what that team represents, that football team of deaf players.
Coded in all our DNA, you know, we want to belong. We don't want to get, we're afraid to get kicked out of the tribe, so to speak, and we want to belong. I think Maryland School for the Deaf, and if you want to go sort of a peel the onion in down to like the microcosm of the football team, is a great symbol of belonging and community and acceptance. That's really special there. I mean, you even see it in the friendship between Amari and Jalen. You know, you wouldn't suspect, if you want to say on the surface, a jock and a gay male cheerleader would be tight. And they are, partly through the connection through Teddy, and partly, I think, a testament to the sort of a utopia at Maryland School for the Deaf, in a way.
Are the coaches deaf, Matt?
Yeah, yeah. So Coach Ryan was a player on the team his senior year when I first wanted to make this. Mm. And he went to Maryland School for the Deaf and went and played football at a hearing college, then transferred and played for Gallaudet University, which is the only deaf university in the country. It's in D.C. All the coaches and assistant coaches are deaf, and all the staff, as far as I met, for the most part as well.
Which makes them really great role models for these boys.
They've been through it. A lot of them went to that high school, if not to another high school. A lot of them went to deaf high schools. Some didn't. And so they've all had these experiences and these life lessons that they can literally prepare the kids with, whether it's through a teacher or a coach. You know, Coach Ryan wasn't just teaching them, you know, football.
Teaching them life.
You know, teach them life lessons. Yeah, preparing them. He says it in the film, you know. It's not wrapped up in a bow at the end of the film. They got to go out into the world now. He's just preparing them as best he can.
There's a sentiment that both the coach of the team and one of the players talk about, that when they play football against hearing schools, that those teams don't like to lose to, quote, deaf players. And we can hear one of the opposing coaches in the film talk about that when the team plays. Let's listen.
You are guys playing football. They are guys playing football. They're football players, and they're here to win today. You don't have to forget that they're deaf. They will use that as a strength.
Using that as a strength, is that something that you saw often in these players? And what did you make of that comment?
I think in some ways the coach is saying, hey, don't take them for granted. I don't look at them as they're a really good football team for being deaf. I look at them as a really good football team and they happen to be deaf. And I think there's a really big difference there. I don't know if that totally answers your question.
Well, but did you experience other teams resenting losing to a deaf team?
Sure. I wouldn't say necessarily in games I filmed, but going back and forth over many years watching games, yeah, absolutely. Whether it's seeing it or feeling it or talking to the coach, you know, part of the thing you don't see in the film and you don't see in anyone's season is they have to schedule their season. That's a worry every year in terms of they get turned down.
Why are they turned down?
From what the coach says in the film, he feels from his perspective at times it's because they know they're a really strong team and this hearing team or that may not win.
What did you learn, Matt, from these remarkable players, from these deaf high school football players?
You probably learned a lot more than they learned from me. And I don't think it's any sort of one specific incident or thing. I think I learned to be a better person, but I'll bet you, I think the number one thing, I learned to listen better, you know, and be more present and mindful and just kind of listen, be curious. I think that's the number one thing I learned.
You made reference to this, but the coach at the end of the film says that he worries a little bit about what happens when these boys leave this protected bubble of the team and of this remarkable and special school and go out into the world. What are your thoughts on that? Where do these boys go from here?
Well, obviously it's different for everyone, and I think on a personal level he's saying, hey, I'm worried about them. I'm not here to protect them. You know, they don't have this campus. They don't have us to protect them. We hope, like, you know, metaphorically parents, we've prepared them well and that their families have prepared them well. But, you know, they're like all of us, right? They're going to go out into the world and deal with the same things as all of us. A little harder, right? My best friend deals with it. You know, my friend David deals with it. And it's hard to answer what can happen. I feel good about them.
Matt, one final question. This is not the only Oscar nominee that involves the deaf community. There's also the Best Picture nominee, Coda. Two films isn't a trend, but is it a sign that the deaf are becoming more seen?
Yeah, more seen and heard. You know, I think films like Audible and Coda really amplify voices. Having a documentary, Audible, and a narrative, Coda, in the same year, yes, about the deaf community, but let's not just blanket it with that. They're from different perspectives, you know? It's not just a generic deaf film, right? They're nuanced with characters and different stories, and it's pretty historic to have a narrative and a doc nominated in the same year, and we've connected with each other and really supported each other. It's pretty special.
Filmmaker Matt Ogens, his film Audible is up for an Oscar for Best Documentary Short. Matt, thank you for really inspiring work.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Audible is available on Netflix.